Hey everyone, welcome to episode 3 of the Plus One podcast. I'm your host, Adam Henriksen, and today I'm really excited because we've got one of the most experienced PAs in the industry on the show today, and also one of my favorite people. His name's Chris Bartlett, and most people have worked with this guy and know him very well because not only is he hardworking and he's got a great attitude, he's also just really fun to be around. He's super hilarious and he knows everything about film. Trust me, this guy is a film buff in the true sense of the word. Anyways, enjoy the show. So Chris Bartlett, I was trying to think of the first time you and I worked on set together as production assistants. And I mean, you know, I'm thinking maybe 2014, 2015, maybe. I mean, my first PA job was in 2009, and then I didn't do it for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And then I started doing a lot more PAing around 2015. And I feel like that's when I started to kind of appear more on set. And of course, you know, you work on set, you're going to run into Chris Bartlett because you're on everything.
Well, I mean, yes. I mean, I try to be, you know, it's always good to stay busy. But yeah, it was probably 2014, 2015. The one job I can remember you being on set, like you and I being on set, I think we were all the way out like in West Virginia or something. It was some like Medicare commercial. For some reason, that one sticks on like one of the first times we worked together.
Was it interviewing veterans, something like that?
Might have been. Yeah. I thought it was one of the things that you get in this area is a lot of what is it called, like prescription drug things,
right? You know? Right.
I can remember being in a kitchen. I remember Joe sticking you with like crafty stuff.
Yeah.
Just like he's like, come on, guy. Everybody can do crafty. He's like. The crew just was being way too needy, and I felt horrible. But I was like running around, you know, driving, having to pick up things here and there, so I couldn't really help.
No, crafty is deceptively complex, and it's like one of those things where somehow inexperienced PAs may get stuck with it, and it's like no, this there's a lot more going on here. You know, there's like I learned a lot from Joe about crafty, and I mean. You of course have done crafty a bunch, what's up?
Well, I was gonna say it's all different now. I mean, crafty in the time of COVID, I don't think normal crafty ever comes back. Because you think about having like a huge crew sitting there, and you've got chips and dip, and everybody's hands are going into it. Man, I think those days are long gone. So I think crafty is a whole different animal now, man. It's like
yeah.
It's complete. So I don't envy anybody working crafty in this day and age.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, everyone's got to pivot and kind of just figure out the new path, you know, and crafty is definitely one of those on the front lines of change, you know, in the industry because of COVID, everything has to be, I mean, I've heard about, you know, pre-packed lunches and, you know, just reducing traffic as much as possible. People have kind of like windows where they go up to get their snack, you know, which is mm-hmm. prepackaged, and people, you know, submit what they'd like the night before. I mean, that's what I've heard. I mean, I being in the warehouse, you know, I haven't been on sets. So, you know, it's really what I hear from
that's
you
a pretty good, I mean, that's a pretty good example of what it actually is. I mean, even someone like Wendy, who's been doing crafty for years and it's really good. Like even to the point where she had actually bought like little donut holes from Dunkin' Donuts. And back in the day, it was like, grab them out of the box as people go, you know, no one cared. But now she even had them like individually Ziplocked, you know,
yeah.
It was like 3 donut holes in one Ziploc. And I was like, man, this is crazy. It's a whole new world, which I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Because I think having like all the specialty stuff and things, making it so kind of messy, like it's so much cleaner to have just like prepackaged stuff. People, that's all you need, snacks and salt just to get by in the day.
Right. Well, you know what? This area is really lucky to have Wendy Snow Walker. She's awesome at what she does on set. She is also just very considerate and has great energy.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, you know, Chris, let's just, you know, if we can kind of jump into some of these questions here.
Yeah, man.
Just like with the first one, and, you know, just kind of, you can riff off of these however you like, you know, it's all going to be on the chopping block.
Yeah.
I'm going to, you know, twist everything you say into horrible things.
Oh, okay. So make sure I say all the buzzwords that you can throw in. I got you. I know how this industry works.
Oh boy. But anyway, so in a few words, capture the essence of working in film production in this region.
I'll say the thing that's always gotten me about working in the DC Baltimore area, DC more so, is that everything comes to DC, whether it be the biggest movies, the biggest TV shows, everything down to like government shoots, pharmaceutical shoots, simple commercials, big time commercials, Maryland Lottery. We see everything here. So I think you're never going to get bored, because you might work on, like for example, I worked on Veep, but then I've also worked on some of the smallest little things that are still fun. And you're never going to get bored working in this area, because you're going to see it all. And so far in my like 10 plus years, I have. Like I've definitely seen some of the biggest things all the way down to some of the smallest things with like a 4-man crew. So
it's an interesting thing about Maryland that a lot of people don't know. One of its nicknames is Little America.
Yes.
And you know, something you had said earlier, actually, that, you know, like the one thing we don't have is desert, but we pretty much got everything else.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the thing. You've got the mountains, you know, all the way, you know, you've got the mountains, and then you go all the way down. The land gets a little smoother until you get to over here on the Eastern Shore. And then all of a sudden you're at the ocean and you've got the beaches.
Yeah.
It's like Maryland can double for pretty much almost a good like 45-ish states in the union.
Pretty much. I mean, and so, yeah, a lot of the focus is on DC, on that area and what it has to offer. But yeah, the rest of Maryland is just like this gold mine. And it's like, I'm just waiting for when people in California realize that it's just, you know, it's totally deep mined over there. And you know, they're going to come back east. You know what I mean? It's going to be like the return of the industry back to the east. I don't know. This may all be a pipe dream, but.
No, it's true. And even how, like, because there was a long rumor that before they built Pinewood Studios in Georgia, they were looking around here. And of course, the whole thing about like the tax breaks and all that stuff, I think that kind of went away.
Right.
But even Georgia doesn't have what Maryland has. You know, it's kind of like, that's why you see a little bit more industry going up to North Carolina, because a little bit more of the mountains in North Carolina. But Maryland does have almost everything you need. And that's, like I said, that's why I think it's unique working in this industry, in this area.
Definitely. All right. Well, how did you get your start in the industry?
Oh, wow. Such a long time ago. Wow. I think, you know what? I worked on one of the first things I remember working on was just like helping out and then doing like actual acting, background acting on Wedding Crashers, which filmed in my neck of the woods down here, actually filmed at my sister-in-law's family's horse farm, you know, that they, you know, so like I had like a kind of a quasi inn there. But I remember working on that, and that's what kind of got me going. But I left for a few years to go to school in Boston. And when I came back, I knew a few people, and I just got on a set. And one of the first people I got on the set with was May Tam. And to know May Tam is to pretty much get introduced to everybody, especially if you're a good person. Like May likes to keep the people that are good and try to, like, you know, weed out the people that maybe aren't so good. But yeah, that was pretty much it. One of the first jobs I can remember when I first started this was a May Tam job working with Steve Greenstein. Greenstein. I always feel bad that I don't know, so I just say Steve. When he was working for Image Factory DC in Silver Spring, and I forget what the commercial was, but it was just like I got to meet those two people, May and Steve. It's two of the nicest people you'll meet in the industry, and that's kind of where I started. It was like right from there, and then after that, it was everything. Like I said, I worked a little bit on Syriana, then I worked on Veep for a whole season. But yeah, and then everything from that is usually just between getting jobs with Melissa, with Joe. Joe, of course. Because he'll rake us over the coals if we don't. But yeah, it's definitely been a little over 10 years, I think.
Wow, that's great.
Full time, you know, kind of going at it.
So you know, with working at the rental house, you know, at Plus One, we, you know, we see a lot of people kind of come and go picking up orders. And sometimes we'll see the same faces multiple times a week. You're one of those people. And then, you know, some other faces we see kind of every now and then, but I know that there are some people out there who are kind of struggling to get as much work as maybe somebody like yourself, you know, and it's maybe you can share some advice to others. How do you get those callbacks besides just kind of like, you know, knowing good people and making those connections? I mean, you know, what are those key qualities that you think are important to get those callbacks?
Putting aside like meeting people like May, Melissa, you know, Steve, so on and so forth. When if you do meet these people and you do get on a set, I think what gets you called back is like, you know, you do good, but you're not ever present. You know, like there's a lot of times where there'll be people that'll get on a set and they think that they have to schmooze everybody, and you're just like, you know, or they'll dress a certain way because they're trying to impress. And I understand that for most professions, it's like dress to impress, schmooze because you want to move up. But it's like when you see a film crew at its base, it's just be a good person, you know. Not that I'm saying everybody's a good person, but be a good person. Just do your job. Just be helpful. Don't come in with an ego. Mm. You know, don't come in think that you're like the next like Hitchcock or Spielberg. You know, realize that everybody has to start somewhere. And mm-hmm. I think to be humble, to realize that you're probably going to start off, especially if you're a PA, you're going to start off getting coffee orders and things like that. But just realize that that's just, you know, just be the best person to do that. And I think mm-hmm. just be reliable, you know?
Yeah.
And if you're looking at it for outside of it, just talk to people, you know, like if you have a circle of friends and someone knows somebody, just, you know, talk to people and just say, you know, I'd be interested in just trying it out. You know, don't walk up and say, oh, yes, I want to actually be a DP. So could I be a camera? It's like, no, you're gonna have to drive that truck for a while. You're gonna have to pick up from Plus One for a while before you get to become an AC. Mm-hmm. Even though you want to do that, just realize that you got to work your way up and, you know.
Right. I mean, film school doesn't really prepare people to, you know, manage getting 18 different types of Starbucks coffees and, yeah, you know, driving a 15 pass van and parallel parking it in downtown DC. I mean,
I refuse to do, like, I try to stop my, people are like, Chris, can you drive a truck? I'm like, yeah, it's fine. Like, can you drive a truck in DC? I'm like, find somebody else. I know my limits and I know that I don't want to do that.
And I was just going to say, like, that's part of it, right? Is you got to know what to say no to, but you also have to be able to step out of your comfort zone. You have to be able to play so many roles, you know, when you are on production, playing support roles mm-hmm. on a lot of these jobs. And yeah, like you said, it's not necessarily things that you want to do. Like, you're not, maybe you don't get to work with camera on this job. You know what yeah. I mean? But you still smashed it when you were sent to Starbucks, you know what I mean, to get those 18 different coffees, and you were careful. I mean, there are people who have amazing technical knowledge on set, and they're like, that is key to how the magic happens, but they would tremble at the thought of having to go get those coffees and manage that. I mean, it's just a skill that is necessary, and somebody's got to do it, and it's important, even if it doesn't seem like it is, you know what I mean? So, and if you just grind it out, you know, and you keep grinding, people notice, right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. That's what I was saying about May, you know, like if she sees that you're a good person, good worker, you know, then you're going to get a call back.
That's right. Okay. So what are some of the essential equipment or gear that, you know, you just can't live without on set? What are some of the things that you find yourself using a lot that you like? I mean, besides your cell phone, I mean, that's going to be everybody's answer, but.
Obviously the walkies. Always furbished to the nines by Plus One Rentals. wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But the things that you, I guess, is it just anything that over my time that I feel like I
arsenal. This is just, you know, anything that you feel like has helped you. Like for an example with me is, I always have a couple pairs of work gloves. in my car. You know, just because one time on a job, I don't know, maybe you were on that. No, I don't think you were on this one, but it was just, we were asked to move a couple wood piles.
Oh, no.
And then we had to move them back. What's that?
I would remember that. So no.
Yeah. And it was me and two other PAs, and I happened to have three pairs of work gloves in my car for totally unrelated reason. Smart. And I had a pair for me and for these two other PAs, and we would have just covered our hands in splinters if we had to do that with our bare hands. So I always just, from that point on, work gloves on every job.
No, that's smart. That's smart. Yeah. Like I keep a pair of work gloves in my bag. So I think the best thing you can do is on that line is have a backpack that you set aside is like, I always call it, it's just your set bag, you know? So it's got everything in it that you think that you need. For example, you could even have an extra pair of socks. Cause I came to I was working on a show, the dreaded YMCA. You've heard me talk about it. That I still curse to this day, but I needed socks because my shoes got wet, you know? So I needed socks, gloves for certain situations like that. But then the bag should have, you know, why not just have a flashlight? Don't worry about using your phone, you know, for your flashlight. Always have pens, always have Sharpies, because don't worry about your phone, because if your phone dies, you know, you can't be taking notes and stuff like that. Just, you know, for example, for me, I keep this like rolled up real tight little Columbia rain slicker. That's just enough that I can crunch it down to that big and I can shove it in my bag. But just in case all of a sudden it's going to start downpouring. Well, guess what? And you didn't know that. You didn't bring a raincoat that day. You have it in your bag. Even your laptop, if you can think about it, because sometimes you're stuck in an office and it's like the production manager is just like, oh, I got to do this, and this. And it's like, well, I can help you. I've got my laptop here. What do you need me to type up? What do you need me to print out? Things like that. So just have this like little kit set aside that just has things that you might not need, but you do need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like, I mean, always have your Leatherman. You know, someone's always needs, somebody have a knife or anything? It's like, well, yeah, here it is right here. Or it's got scissors in it too. Mm-hmm. And some pliers, you know, that was like, that's been key for most of my time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the thing with pens and notepads, little things like that, that, you know, because you're going to be throwing tons of information at one point and you're going to have to remember all this stuff. Just write it down.
Yeah. Yeah. Sharpies, right?
Yes. Yeah. Sharpies, pens. Like I said,
hopefully a more environmentally friendly solution will eventually replace Sharpies. I imagine that they're not the most, you know, the greenest product on the earth.
Yeah. I mean, I can't tell how many Sharpies have just like have probably just been disposed of in my 10 plus years of doing this. And she's like, oh, it doesn't work that well anymore. Ah, throw it away, you know. But that's the thing. And the main thing, I think, because I always go back to like Sharpies and stuff, is like, make sure your phone is always charged.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, so buy one of those little like anchor battery packs, man, because maybe your phone power's fine because you haven't had to use it that much, but somebody on set's going to need it, you know? So you could be the person who says, yeah, you can use my charger, you know, it's fine. You know, things like that.
Right. But
keep track of it, because people do like to walk away with those things.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's great advice. And I mean, especially when you may need to like hop onto YouTube and watch a video to learn how to do something really quick because somebody asked you to do something and you're like, I have no idea what that is.
Yeah.
So like
yeah.
You're looking at video tutorials and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You can totally drain your phone juice real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's a really good tip. Mm-hmm. All right. So why don't we just kind of move on here, but this very topical question here, mm-hmm. to, you know, keep our pulse on the times. How has the pandemic impacted your work style?
It's my style.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's an odd question. I've kind of phrased it oddly, whatever that means to you. There's no wrong way to answer this.
So the pandemic, other than like getting out of a rhythm, you know, because we weren't working for a lot last year. And then when we started to get back into a rhythm, it was weird. You know, it was kind of weird getting our schedules back to normal. But on set, it's more, I think the masks, I mean, keeping distance is fine. I mean, because usually what I do is I usually try to stay away from set because I'm better served to be putting out whatever fire I can. You know, don't put me on a lockup, because I'm much better suited to be putting out fires for anybody who needs fires put out. So the distance thing, keeping 6 feet, is never a problem for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of it has to do with like the communication. There's a lot of like with the masks, and then sometimes we have to have the visors, like this job we just worked on where everybody who was close to the main talent had to have a visor on. Those like unspoken communications that, you know, you've had with people that you've worked 10 plus years with are kind of gone for now, and you have to kind of change them. And then even when you're kind of talking real quiet, you know, cause you know, we're rolling, but you're trying to talk quiet, you know, now it's muffled, you know, and it's hard to tell what the person's saying. So I think that's the one thing that I've noticed, that our quick communication, our unspoken communication, or being able to like whisper real quick to say something, that stuff kind of is a little, it's there, but it's not as fast as it used to be, which is fine because obviously we're all staying safe.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's the one thing I've had to get used to, is just not being as quick on the draw with something, because it's just not there, and we're not used to it yet, even though it's been a year, but still.
Yeah. And I mean, it's probably for the best too, because, you know, COVID should have a slowing effect on yes. everyone, so that people aren't making mistakes, because now the stakes are a lot higher. So
yeah,
that makes perfect sense that would be an issue. But it's also, you know, it's also kind of interesting to hear you say that, you know, you're talking about people you've worked with for the last 10 years, you know what I mean? It's an interesting thing about this area is how closely knit the film community is here. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's, and I wonder if it would be so much harder if that background, that foundation of familiarity between people in this area wasn't already there, you know, like, you know, think about all the sets where everyone's just random, you know, no one really knows anybody. And they don't have anything to go off of, and their faces are covered. I mean,
yeah, and you know, that's exactly right. I mean, like, you can't read people like you used to, especially in a high, there's tensions on mm-hmm. set, especially if you're behind. You can't read people like you can when you see their whole face and you're talking to them.
Right.
There's a whole frustration that builds. But when you know the person, like, like this close-knit community, you know, like I know if Dave Vogel isn't having a good, time with something, I can tell because I've known Dave for so long, and I'm just like, I'm going to walk up and say something funny to him because I know, you know, even without seeing his face, I know he's not having a good moment right there.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah. But like, if he's just some other AD, I wouldn't be able to read that. You know?
Yeah, sure. Sure. And I mean, that's part of it, is just that energy on set. You know what I mean? And it's an important thing. It's something that we cherish in this region. So
definitely.
I'm sure that, even though I haven't been on set in a while, I'm sure though that everyone's doing their best to maintain that energy despite wearing the masks and having to kind of slow down a little bit. You know, everyone finds their way to have fun. So
yeah, and it's the very first job I did, when it's all in the summer, or maybe it was the spring. It was a really small job, and everybody wasn't used to it yet, and you could tell. Everybody was just kind of like, you know, stay away. But when people started to get used to it, to know, I think because we work so much, so closely, but at the same time, so quickly, people are finding that rhythm, and that's good. And I think, you know, especially this year with everything kind of getting back to not normal, you know what I mean? With the amount of work, you know, like obviously the COVID stuff will be here for a while, but getting back to normal when we're working more, it's just going to be another thing. It's like, we're all wearing masks. We're all staying away from each other, but that's just the way it is now, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
And then even if we stop wearing masks one day, I think we've learned we can do this stuff. Like I said, I was saying with Crafty earlier, we can do these things without having to have these, you know, 9 million hands into a chip dip, you know, we can do this now. We have the technology.
We only thought if we could, we never asked if we should. I don't know. I'm trying to.
It's true though.
It is.
It's true.
Last question. What is your favorite local restaurant and what do you like to order there?
See, that's the thing, because I'm not, since I live over here on the shore, I have to go by what we get food-wise on set.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, I mean, like that's my experience, because when I'm up usually across the bridge, I would say my favorite place that we get food from, it's a tie, but I'm going to go, in my brain it's a tie, but I'm going to go with THB, Towson Hot Bagels.
Towson Hot Bagels.
Because they make one of the best bacon, egg, and cheese bagels on an everything bagel that I've ever had. Like, they slice them, so you have to eat, like, you know, one half, but it's like, you silly fool, I'm going to eat both halves. So, yeah, it's like, it's so cheesy. Trish always gets that, especially if we're shooting around the Baltimore area, because you can do that early pickup at, like, 6 a.m.
Yeah. No, I mean, hey, you know, when I'm back in my Towson days, I used to hit them up every now and then. Now, yeah. Am I remembering it correctly? Was Towson Hot Bagels on the same street as Cluck You Chicken, or were they?
Oh, I think so. Well, okay. They had 911 wings.
Yeah, good old Cluck You.
Mm. Cluck You, the 911 wings. You had to sign a waiver.
Yeah, exactly. Sign the waiver. Right.
And they wouldn't deliver it to you. They were like, no, we want you to come in, read this, and then sign it. And I was like, all right.
You know, I'm sure Towson Hot Bagels appreciates you throwing them some love. And
that's like, man, when I hear we have breakfast from Towson Hot Bagels, it's like the greatest thing on set. I'm like, I don't care what we're filming. I don't care what the rest of it is. It's fine. I started it off great.
That's awesome. All right, man. Well, hey, dude, thanks again. And we'll be talking shortly, okay?
Yeah, man.
All right. Peace out, Chris.
All right, man. Later.
And that's a wrap on this episode of the Plus One Podcast. Thanks for listening in, everyone. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and also join our Facebook group, Surviving the DMV Film Industry Shutdown. We've got a great community of people there sharing their experiences, and it's just generally a wonderful time. As always, this is Adam signing out.